Good morning. So it's like 150 degrees out here, apparently. So at any point, one of us could burst into flames. We're going to hope that doesn't happen. Jesus, we just bring our hearts to you this morning. We ask for you to speak. God, we just we pray for surrender today. We pray to lay down whatever it is that we're trying to carry around. Jesus, we pray for your freedom. We pray for your hope. God, we pray for your voice, God, that it would drown out every other thing that we're hearing in our head right now. God, we just consecrate these moments to you, this day to you. Father, we just submit to whatever it is that you want to say, what you're up to in our lives and our hearts. In your name we pray, amen.
I would be homeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. My freedom, hallelujah, for
I know I'm probably going to see a lot of hands raised when I ask this question, but how many of you guys carry a backpack around? Yeah? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I got to go on a trip to Colorado again. I know I just went a little while back, but I had a couple of opportunities. One to go with, to take my family, and one to go with a group of guys that I really love and I've known for years. And I love to fly fish, so we got to go out to fish the Eagle River in central Colorado. And then we got to hike up. we did like an overnight deal. We hiked up the Sawatch Mountain Range to Lake Charles and Mystic Lake. It's about a half a day or a good day's hike, really, in. And we camped and fished. Caught more fish than we can count. And then hiked back down. But so I was very, very ill-prepared for the overnight deal. And you know, when you're in Colorado, you see a lot of people that have all this equipment that they hike with. They got these big backpacks, and you know, they got their sleeping bags. Because in Colorado at night, it still gets pretty cold, right? So, especially when you're at 11,000 feet above sea level, where we were. And so as we journeyed in, there were several checkpoints where I realized, yeah, I should have did that. I should have brought that. I shouldn't have brought that kind of thing. And the first thing I realized was the backpack that I had was not a backpack that you should take on a trip like that. One, it wasn't big enough. And two, it was ill-fitting. And this is probably a cheesy analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. But as we were walking in, I kept thinking of, is it Matthew 11, where Jesus, in the Message is the one I always remember, but where Jesus says, "Come to me, get away with me, and I will show you how to recover your life," or something like that. But it comes from the original version you probably hear is "Take my yoke upon you," because it's light, "and I will give you rest." Rest, yeah. And the whole time, the guys that were with me, there were six of us, and they had room. "Hey, man, let us take," and I felt like a jerk, you know, because like, yeah, take this out, and you take this. And the whole time, they kept asking me, they were like, "Hey, man, like, let us take some of your, take some of that out of your backpack so it's not so," because it was like killing my shoulders. Like, halfway in, I was just like, oh, I had to rest every few minutes or whatever, let my shoulders rest or whatever. And I got to the top of the mountain, I kept thinking about that verse. I kept thinking about my life and how much that I try and carry on my own. And it's like that backpack was like symbolic of my life. The things that I try and carry myself. And they're painful, and they're frustrating, and they're ill-fitting. And Jesus sort of sidles up to us in our lives, and he says, "Hey, like, why are you carrying that? Why are you carrying that anger? Why are you carrying those burdens? Why are you carrying that frustration? Why won't you let me take some of that from you?" So that's the heart of the gospel, that Jesus, that's his offer to us as his children. But we are conditioned to believe that we made our bed, we have to lie in it, that, you know, we are victims of our own decisions, and that is true to a large degree. But Jesus has rigged this world in such a way where you get to a point where you just can't go on without him. You just can't go on without him. And that's preordained, man. Jesus planned that out. And I know. It's like a lot of that is our own stupid decisions, right? The things that we have brought on ourselves. But Jesus is always up ahead of the trail, and he's waiting, for a moment when you go, I just can't do this anymore. I just can't carry this anymore. And that's when transformation begins to happen, right? And so for a lot of you today, you're at that place, or you're getting close, and you're getting frustrated, and you're going back to a substance or to a drink or to a woman or a man or to something to try and give yourself life or trying to forget the shit that's in your life right now. But Jesus is up ahead on the trail going, hey, I'm here and I'm offering to take that from you. I'm offering to take that backpack from you and give you mine because it's much lighter. It fits you better. And it was the one you were meant to carry. Believe it or not, the things that you're dragging around now, God never meant for you to carry those things. He never did. So, we're going to play one more for you today. Sort of a mellow one to kind of get us ready for the talk here.
Descend upon me like a rolling stone, like a black swan raging on for all that I know. You know it unnerves me when I lose control and all out of options, and I'm out of my head. Then I build my life around someone who I thought that I was, but it turns out all the things I do to feel young, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus. You love me like death and reverse. Me like a vein of gold with the powers that drive flowers from the fold. You cast me uncursed, unearth my body and my soul like fire from my ashes, fire from my coals. And I build my life around someone who I thought that I was, but it turns out all the things I do to feel young, they only make me old. And you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus. You love me like death. You love me like death. Love me like death and reverse. Ooh. All of my life I've been fighting for a place to thrive. Turns out all the things I do to survive, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus. You love me like death. You love me. Thank you.
That's good stuff, ain't it? I missed you guys last week. If you didn't miss me, don't tell me about it. Oh, thank you, thank you. I am 1 year older than I was here last time. I won't tell you how old. Getting there. That's right. Just keep on going. Just keep on bringing them, Lord. That's all I ask. That's right. All right. Well, I did miss you guys last week, and I'll share more of where I was at here in just a second because it applies to you, and excited to share that. But before we get started, I'm not sure if I see her right now. Miss Carolyn was here earlier. Yeah, right here. I had talked with her, and we've had prayer. But Edgar Watson, that comes with her, some of you guys will know him as Black. He had a fall from a two-story fall and is not doing well from that. And so we want to remember our brother in prayer this morning. And, of course, we've said we'll be any help that we can be from here. So will y'all just pray with me for our brother and friend as we get started, okay? Father, we just thank you for being a family. We say this all the time, but it's so much more than a cliche or something we feel like we have to say, but Jesus, you direct this family. You lead us and you guide us, and you know those of us that are here, you care for us. As Jesse said earlier, preordained that you have rigged the world in such a way that we look towards you for help, that we need you. That's really the only way that this world makes sense, especially in times of need like this when a friend is hurting. God, we know that we were never created to live and operate in a world with sin, with hurt, with pain. That's why I think at times when there is an injury like this or worse, it begins to bring up questions in us or feel like, I can't handle this. This seems too much. It's too much, much more than we were ever meant to have to deal with. We were meant for perfection and relationship with you, and that day is coming. You are working on a day where all things will be made new. There will be no more injuries. There will be no more sickness, no more death. But for now, we suffer in moments like that. So we pray for Edgar. We pray, God, that as I did with Carolyn, that you know what's going on in his body. You have equipped doctors and nurses to take care. And so we trust their hands with that and just ask that you give wisdom and that you bring healing. We pray that in Jesus' name. We have that authority that we ask in Jesus' name that you bring healing to our friend's life. And so bless him spiritually, physically, emotionally, all of these things, and let him know that we are with him. And so we pray for our friend Edgar. Be with him now in a special way. And so we pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And I want you guys to keep that up and continue to pray. So last week, I did miss you guys, and I was in Jacksonville, Florida. And I just want you to know that your story matters. You hear that out here a lot, and that's not cliche, but we believe that stories matter. And that honestly, when Jesus is involved in a story, Jesus changes everything. You hear Jesse say that a lot, but I want you to know the reason why I was in Jacksonville, Florida last week. I shared at two gatherings very similar to what's happening here this morning, very infant stages, very beginning stages, but a family member of mine and Jamie's, our Uncle Bill and Aunt Kathy, been in ministry for a long time. They've been involved in traditional churches and definitely God leading them. I don't want to put too much credit on us more than is deserved because it's just a small part. But I want you to know, based on your story and seeing what God is doing out here, they have started two locations that are meeting out, one at a park and one at a building much like ours. And you guys have inspired them, and the Holy Spirit has led them to do that. And so last week, about this time, and in fact, right now they're meeting at Florida time, their second location, about 20 to 30 people at each one. It kind of reminds me of the beginning of here, and they're offering a meal, and it was just an awesome time. So I was able to share with both groups last week. I think Jesse and I are going to go down in October maybe sometime, or at least talking about it. Date's not confirmed, but sometime, and Jesse go and lead with me as well. But it is a kind of an offshoot of what you guys are living and showing as possible out here. And so I don't want you to ever enter into a spot where you don't think your story matters, as it does in Florida and beyond. And so I'm thankful for that. But I want you to know what we're about here. It kind of just had me thinking about why do we exist, you know, and talking with them about why they exist. It kind of was just a humble reminder of our beginnings and all the things. And I found it perfect in the psalm that we're going to be in today. But I want you to know this. My goal is never for you to leave this place and say, man, what a cool sermon, because that probably doesn't happen very much. I don't want you to leave here and say, man, Jesse's so good at leading, and we agree with that, but I don't want you to leave here and that be that. I don't want you to leave here and say, that's the best meatloaf this side of Wedding Crashers I've ever seen or heard about, right? I don't want you to do that. I mean, that's good if you do, but I don't want that to be the only thing. I don't want it to be just about that. I don't want it to be that you came and you got a bag of supplies and you left and you're like, man, that's great. But I don't want it to be the only thing. You see, because there is something that is so much deeper. Jesse has sang about that this morning and talked about laying down and letting God take those burdens. But there is something that we believe out of all of those little things that happen out here. You may not know it, but as every little bit of meatloaf, by the way, could there not be a grosser name for something? I mean, meatloaf is good, but a loaf of meat. If you've ever seen that mixed up, it's not real pretty in the beginning. Candace and I were talking about that earlier, and she doesn't eat meat, so it was really gross to her to think about. But think about that, a loaf of meat. Why would people get up this morning or last night and mix together and plan on cooking meatloaf and mashed potatoes? Amen. Everybody like mashed potatoes? Macaroni and cheese with the extra cheese. My nephew Ryan, when he was a little boy, said the dipping place. He liked that cheese in there, you know, be able to dip stuff in it, rolls or whatever. But why would we do that? Why is that even done? It's to let you know that there is a steadfast love of God that endures all the day long. Every little thing, a bag that you take home, these folks over here helping this morning and sorting, it is to let you know there is a steadfast love of God. Why do I stand here with an open Bible? It's not to hear myself talk. I'll be completely transparent with you. I personally don't ever have to do this again. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want you to know of a steadfast love that endures all the day long. Jesse sings up here, and Jesse's got talent to be on your radio, but it's not why he does it. He does it to let you know that there is a steadfast love of God that endures all the day long. If you're like me, when you hear a word that might seem simple, you still like to break it down. I want you to listen to what the beautiful definition of the word steadfast that you'll hear from our psalm today means. Firmly fixed in place. Firmly fixed in place. Not subject to change. Can I ask you this morning, is there anything in your life that is with absolute certainty never going to change? We have no idea what awaits. You may be walking around healthy one day and discover that you have news coming that you never anticipated. You may have a great job right now that may not be waiting for you on Monday. You may have a house or a residence that will not exist tomorrow. You may have people in your life and relationships that you banked on lasting forever that will be gone in an instant. But there is one thing, only one thing, that is firmly fixed and not subject to change. It is the love that God has for you. And get this, the beautiful part about this is when you get to Scripture and you read beautiful words like steadfast, you don't get to a place and say that God's steadfast love endures all the day long if you do everything you need to do just right. if you stay within the guardrails, if you just keep your head straight and mind your P's and Q's, if you just dot all the I's and cross all the T's, if you do everything right, His love will never change. Listen to me this morning. Everybody look this way, even in the back. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you are going to do. The steadfast love of God is that. It is steadfast. It is fixed. It is never changing. It is not subject to change. It will always be the same for you and for me. My friends and brothers and sisters, when you find a love that good, that is what drives you to want to tell other people about it. It's not to check off a box. It's not to feel good about yourself. It is because we truly have banked everything. I will stake my life and reputation on the steadfast love of God for you and for me. And it's of nothing of your own doing. You cannot do anything to earn it. You don't have to. It's already there. That is why we gather. Everything that we do to point you to the steadfast love of the Father shown through the Son Jesus and hopefully spoken through the Holy Spirit to your heart. Psalm 52, here's what it says. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? This is David. The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Speaking of these evildoers, he says, your tongues plot destruction like a sharp razor, your work of deceit. Some of you have met that person. Plot destruction, a sharp razor is your tongue, a worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. Anybody ever met just a liar? Don't point nobody out. Don't do that this morning. But somebody that would rather, you know, what's the old saying? I'm going to sound like George W. Bush, how he messes up sayings here. But somebody would rather climb a tree than stand and tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. Something like that, right? You've met people like that, that all they want to do is tell lies, right? We know those people, and some of us, I don't want to step on toes this morning. You might be that person, not judging. Steadfast love of God endures forever, even for you. You liar, liar, pants on fire. Lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you and tear you from your tent. Doesn't sound fun. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge. Jesse talked about this morning, that we sometimes, when that load gets heavy and it gets burdensome and we feel like there's no other way out, we are going to seek refuge somewhere or with someone, right? Whether it be drug or drink or a person. We seek sometimes in the wrong places, but there is a refuge that will not let you down. There is a refuge that is a safe place in time of trouble, this one where the steadfast of love endures of God forever. Said, see who the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Listen to those words, sought refuge in his own destruction. What we thought was a safe place is really our own undoing. But David says this, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you, talking of God, because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. You pray with me. Father, we thank you for this quick psalm this morning. God, just a few quick thoughts this morning. I pray that you continue to speak to our hearts above my words, but Holy Spirit, you would speak in this place. That is why we are here. The steadfast love of you that endures all the day long, that Father, your love is shown through the Son, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, that you back these words of love and affirmation this morning. That is what we pray, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we think about this steadfast, fixed firmly in place, not subject to change, I thought about, I'm a foodie at heart. I love food. You can tell that, right? But have you ever been to a place, like maybe a fast food place? I'm thinking Burger King right now off the... I don't even really like Burger King anymore. They're messing with the Whopper. It's a sore subject. But do you remember the cheesy tots that they had? Does anybody remember those? Cheesy tater tots. And I went one day, and I used to get them for breakfast. I would get a breakfast sandwich, a croissant sandwich. That's just, it's fun to say it. You can say it if you want to, a croissant sandwich. And as I would get that, I would say, I want some of those cheesy tots. You know, I went to the window one day, Rebecca, and they said, we don't have those anymore. It broke my heart. I still haven't got over it. You know why? Because they had the little fine print. It's subject to change for a limited time only. What is worse than encountering something in our life that we thought maybe would be around longer than we thought, but it is always subject to change? But that is not the case with God's love. It is steadfast, fixed, firmly in place, not subject to change. The love of God that endures all the day long. Can I tell you what the word all means? This is going to blow your mind. This is going to blow your mind. It means all. So all day here means all day. But it's not just talking about one day. It's talking about every day that you live, that God's love will endure all of those days. There is no way that you have to question or doubt, did I do enough today to take away the steadfast love of God? No, you did not. He loves you. He will always love you. It is fixed firmly in place, not subject to change. But man, not only that, isn't that beautiful enough, but he made a way. His love never changes, even when yours does. All right, now I'm talking to the choir right now. You may have heard that saying, but I want to talk to those that are believers, that you know you have a relationship with Jesus, right? I've been there. I've been in this boat. I've led in this way sometimes. Maybe I'm paddling in my own boat just by myself. But even though I know the truth, sometimes I want to live outside that. I want to go my own way. And I just do whatever I want to do, and I kind of forget about that relationship with God. And I just say, you know what? I got this now. I got my security in Him, and I'm just going to kind of take life and all. Do you know that even when my heart changes towards Him, His does not change towards me? His love is fixed and not subject to change. Somebody needs to give an amen to that. I want you to listen to the words of David again at the end here. What David, as he talks about all of these deceitful people in his life, the liars, the ones who are bringing shame and seeking refuge in all other places. David says this, but in my life, I will trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you, God, have done it. I will wait for your name. Isn't that a beautiful saying? I will wait for your name. Maybe there's a situation in your life right now that you feel like you are just in the waiting. Wouldn't it be beautiful to say, I will wait for your name? And he says, for it is good and in the presence of the godly. Some of you hear that and you think, man, so-and-so's godly, but not me. Adam, he's godly, but not me. Vicky, she's godly, but not me. Miss Mitzi, she's godly, but not me. Listen to me. Do you know what that word means? Is from God. That you, if you have a relationship with God, you are godly. I want to tell you, some of the most godly and beautiful people I know are out here this morning. I believe that. I've seen it. I've learned from you. I have witness the beauty of the godly people that he has brought out here. And David says this, I will trust alone in your love. And he pulls out Randy Travis. Anybody know who Randy Travis is? Forever and ever. Amen. That's what he says. I will trust in that alone forever and ever. Forever. Because he looks over his life and he says this, you have done it. The beautiful reflection of David looking over his life, and he says that God, you alone have done this. And not only has he done it, he continues to do it. He says, I will wait for your name. Isn't that beautiful? That we trust in the steadfast love of the Father. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, someone needed to hear this morning, and maybe it was me, that in spite of what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do, your steadfast love endures all the day long. I'm thankful for that. I'm humbled by that. I will stake my life and my reputation on that. That I pray to my dying day, I'm still letting others know, whether it be through words, through action, through a handshake, through a hug or a smile, that the steadfast love of you, Father, through your Son Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit, endures all the day long. That means that it endures in the good times, the bad times, or even the sneaky, indifferent times when we just don't care. That God, your love never changes. It is fixed firmly in place and is not subject to change. That is the good news of the gospel. And to receive that love, Father, I don't have to do a thing except just accept that and believe it. I believe that that's true about me. Even on my worst days, I believe that your love does not change when it comes to me. That my friends, my brothers and sisters, are the apple of your eye. That when you look at us, you look past our sin, you see the blood of Jesus that we believe on, that has covered our hearts and our lives. And you look at us as your son, who you are well pleased with, and you call us son or daughter based on your steadfast love. That is the good news of the gospel. The bonus is this morning, as Jesse and Jonathan led us this morning, that whatever we're carrying, that you offer to come alongside with your steadfast love, your grace, your mercy, and compassion. You offer to lighten the load of things we were never meant to carry or carry alone. And say, I am here, my son or daughter. Holy Spirit, this is your room to speak. I pray that you've been speaking. I pray more importantly than that, I guess, that people have been listening. We know you've been speaking. Even if it's a whisper or if it's a shout this morning, that we would listen and know that we are loved. I'm asked all the time, why does the church at Southside exist? Why do you do what you do? It is to let everyone we come in contact with know, no matter what they've done, what they're doing, or what they will do, that your steadfast love, Father, endures all the day long through your Son Jesus and through your Holy Spirit. That is what we stake our reputation and life on. That is what we will continue to teach and let everyone know that comes in contact with us or that we meet on the street, that they are loved and wanted as a son or daughter. I thank you for the gospel this morning. I thank you for the good news. I thank you for this family. We pray and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.